Good morning. And for all of those who follow the church year, a happy new year. We have made it out of the season of Pentecost, also known as that common time. And today now marks the beginning of the Advent season. Advent is historically a season of preparation and a season of expectation as we begin to look forward to the coming of Christ. Today especially, we are going to listen to Paul's command to wake up and to get ready, for the day is drawing near. So may the Spirit wake us from our spiritual slumber this morning, and may we sing our first hymn together, number 345. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. With you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. The word that Isaiah saw, the son of Amos saw, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for the many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13. No one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. How are you all doing today? Good, good. I'm so glad to be here with you today. So I actually brought with me a few things that help me to get ready in the morning. How do you guys wake up? What wakes you up in the morning? You wake up to an alarm clock? Uh-huh. Who wakes you up? Your mom or dad wake you up? Do you do alarm clock? Yeah, I do alarm clocks when I need to set an alarm, and I actually am going to play you what that sounds like. I'm not going to play it very long because, you know, it gives me nightmares listening to this thing, but, you know. Oh, I hate that sound, right? But it tells me that it's time to get up. And so I heed the call, I listen to my alarm clock, and that just tells me I need to start getting ready. Well, I have a morning routine, and I'm sure we all have morning routines. I brought a few things with me that will remind us of what we generally do to get ready. Well, first off, I have a comb. You know, you can't start your day with messy hair, right? So we gotta comb your hair, gotta make sure you're looking nice. I brought a toothbrush. You know, you don't want to go around with a smelly breath at all. And so brush your teeth in the morning. And one other thing, what's this? Just a washcloth, right? You just need to wash your face. You gotta make sure you don't have any eye crusties over there. I get those in the mornings too. They're no fun. But that is a good morning routine that we can all follow and prepare us for the day. Well, in our Bible reading this morning, Paul tells us that we need to get up. He's telling us that the hour has come that we need to arise from sleep. But you know, Paul wasn't talking about rising out of bed. In fact, he was telling us that we need to get ready for Jesus to come. You know, these days, we do a lot of planning for Christmas. We do a lot of scheduling, if you will. We have plans that we got to accomplish all before Christmas comes. We have decorating to do and people to talk to and friends to meet up with. In the same way, or even better though, do we look forward to Jesus coming? So although we, even better than Christmas, we are looking forward to the day when Jesus will finally come once and for all. You know, Jesus, one time he came as a baby in Bethlehem. He came to die for our sins, and he lived a perfect life. He rose from the dead, but he told us after rising from the dead that he was going to go into heaven. He was just going to rise into heaven, but he left us with a promise that he was going to come back for us. He was going to come back and make everything right again, to put away of all pain and sorrow, everything that makes us sad, Jesus is going to come to put away with. That's why Paul says to get ready, because that time is coming soon. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we are left with that promise that it is going to happen. And so getting ready, Paul says, to cast off all the works of darkness. Do you know what that means? Casting off the works of darkness. And he's basically saying to stop sinning. Stop doing all of these bad things. Stop lying. Stop hitting people. Stop disobeying your parents. But rather, he says, put on Christ. He says, basically, to get dressed. Cast off all of these bad things and put on love. Put on honoring your father and mother and helping people and serving other people. That is what it looks like to get ready for when Jesus comes again. And we look forward to that day. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the promise that you have given us that your son, Jesus, will come again and will make all things right again. That he is coming to make all things perfect, to give us joy and peace. And we ask that we can be ready, that we can put on Jesus, that we can put on love and good works and live for you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you so much. You can return back to your seats, and I have a piece of candy for you on your way. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. Been somewhat of a morning person, and if you ask me, there's just something about getting up when the sun rises. Something about that just feels proper to me. And recently, though, I think I learned why that is. Because when you look at the creation account in Genesis, we see that God created the world with this kind of rhythm to it. And as you read more of it, it starts to be very predictable. There was evening and morning, he says, the first day. Then there was evening and morning the second day, and the third, and the fourth, and so on. Every morning, God seemed to begin his creating work. And every evening, it seems like he'd stop. And so again, we get that rhythm. Morning is when God worked. Morning is when the animals and beasts were created to wake up. And in fact, morning is when all kinds of creatures start their day. And when man is finally created on the sixth day, it's as if we are created to fit right inside that rhythm. We are to take our place, as it were, in this cosmic rhythm of evening and morning, where in the morning we rise for action. You get dressed and you get ready for work. And in the evening, you rest, you relax and sleep until morning again rises and we do it all over again. Today, the world tries to overcome that rhythm. With electricity and light, we've tried to take ourselves out of that evening-morning routine. But again, there's something that just feels proper to it when you follow God's design. And in fact, going contrary to that rhythm leads to both physical and mental consequences. We are created to sleep at night and to rise for work in the morning. As we understand this rhythm of creation, as we've called it, we can better understand what Paul is saying in our epistle reading this morning. In verse 11, Paul says that the hour has come for you to wake out of sleep. Paul is speaking here to the church in Rome, which means that he is speaking specifically to Christians, and by association, he is speaking to us this morning, telling us as well that the hour for us to wake up and to rise has come, for it is a spiritual morning for us. Moments ago, we lived, as it were, in a darkness of unbelief. We were all born spiritually dead, in a spiritual night, so to speak. There was no light of truth that was shining in our darkened minds. There was no light of grace shining into our hearts. Before you and I were Christians, saved and baptized, we lived spiritually sleeping in a spiritual night and dead in our trespasses and sins. But now that has changed. Rather, it's as Isaiah says that those dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. It's no longer nighttime, for the morning light has begun to shine upon you. The first beams of God's grace has begun shining into your hearts. The light of his mercy and grace has begun casting out all darkness and fears and sorrows. And the forgiveness of sins brings those first rays of God's glory into your soul. We can't quite see the light of God's grace in all of its splendor just yet. It's not 12 o'clock noon, if you will. It's not daytime, so to speak. It's just early morning, where we today begin seeing God's grace. The eternal day will indeed come soon, when we will see the Son of Righteousness in all of its glory. But that noonday won't come until we see the Lamb of God sitting upon the throne, blazing in the light of glory in a new heavens and new earth. But now, again, does Paul say, it's morning time. The morning light has shined, beloved, and so wake up. It's time to rise, he says. Dress for action. It is time for us to go to work. Paul goes on to use this morning metaphor to list the duties which Christians are to engage in. And with our remaining time together, that is what I want to look at this morning. And what we'll see is that there are really two things that Paul says that we need to do. And both of them fit nicely into this morning metaphor of waking up. The first duty, as we'll see, is the duty of waking up. As Paul says, the hour has come. And secondly, then, we'll look at the duty of getting dressed. As he says, cast off the works of darkness and put on Christ. And so that is where we are going this morning. As we mentioned, the first duty Paul tells us to do is to wake up. It's morning, he says. He has blown the bugle into the camp and telling us the hour has come. God has brought the morning light of God's grace, and so why then are Christians sleeping? Why are they found sleeping in those precious morning hours? So often we seem to be in a spiritual slumber rather than setting out to do the Lord's work. Though it's morning time, we continue to try to sleep in, always hitting that spiritual snooze button. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. We enjoy the light of God's love. So why then do we just continue, as it were, napping and being idle? That's why I like how the King James Version puts it. It translates verse 11 by saying that it is now high time for you to wake from sleep. There are a few reasons why I think Paul tells us that it is high time to wake up. First of all, Paul says it's time to get up because your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. It reminds me of growing up when my family would go on vacations. One time we drove from Georgia all the way to the Grand Canyon. We drove through the night. It was like 24 hours nonstop to get there. And of course, all the kids doze off during the drive. But as you get nearer the canyon entrance, Dad would wake everybody up. "It's time to get up," he says. "We're almost there. Wake up from your sleep. The hour is at hand. You can't be sleeping when we are so close to arriving." Now, it would have been so disappointing to be asleep when the family van pulled through the canyon gate. How tragic to be asleep while driving past the welcome sign. To be asleep while everybody else is taking in those first glances and the first glorious sight of the canyon. It'd be terrible to be found sleeping at such an important hour as that. And yet, as insignificant as that might be asleep to arrive at the Grand Canyon, we can still understand the disappointment. But then imagine, as Paul argues, to be spiritually sleeping when the glory of God comes. And when the glory will come shining in all of its wonder. We are today living on the cuff of glory and at the threshold of the eternal day. It is coming quickly, and will you be found sleeping, Paul says. It is time to wake up. But indeed, that's not the only reason why it is time to wake. For it is high time, beloved, because there is important work to be done. You know, there are a few things that I hate more than a wasted morning, or a wasted day, for that matter. If you're like me, if the day goes by and you didn't get done what you needed, you end up just lying in bed all night. You start remembering all that you were supposed to get done, but you didn't. Perhaps there wasn't enough time in the day, or perhaps you just spent it all napping and sleeping. But at the end of the day, you realize that the morning was so short. You didn't get enough done. Certainly nothing significant done. And that is why Paul says it is high time to wake up. Because the hour of our morning is growing late. It is late morning for most of us here. And it's so often that it's like none of us have gotten up. The time to get things done is slipping through our fingers. Today is the day to do things of substance. Don't spend your spiritual morning doing leisure activities. Don't waste that life away and spend your life doing things that ultimately won't matter in the end. Because that time hastens on and life rushes by so quickly. God has been so gracious and merciful. He's given you life and salvation. He gives you bread to eat and a place to rest your head at night. He has given his son to die for you. He has given you the light of his mercy, grace, and forgiveness of sins, bringing you out of death and darkness into this marvelous light. Surely, then, our days should be spent for this Master's service. To think that Satan's followers serve him both day and night. Satan's followers serve him with diligence. They take no time off. They don't stand idle for doing wickedness. But God's followers are found idle and sleeping. If we would just wake from sleep and serve God with just half the enthusiasm as the world serves the devil. By grace, then, and by the power of God, his church would be a force to be reckoned with. How the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against her. It's time to wake up, because regrets will do us no good on the last day. Regrets will only cause bitterness to our souls. And this is especially true for those who are parents of young children. No one feels it greater than these, that time flows quickly. Your time to do something meaningful and lasting for your child grows shorter and shorter. For as time moves quickly, so does your sphere of influence upon them grow weaker. I like how it's been said that a child who is young is like a twig that you can still bend and shape. If you wake for work, you can nurture them ever so slowly into the ways that are godly. But remain asleep, and that twig will grow into a sturdy tree before you even realize it. Your power to influence them will grow weaker and weaker as they become more set in their ways and more independent. Train your children when they are young, Solomon says, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's time to wake up, beloved, because of our children's sake and for our neighbor's sake. We can't afford to sleep. And so may we then fulfill Jesus' commission in all of this. And may we be lights of the world and share our love, our good works, and that gospel message with those whom we work with those neighbors who we live with, and with all of those whom we engage in play. There's one other duty that Paul tells us to do after waking up, and I'll have to be briefer on this point. Paul simply tells us to get dressed for work. You're children of the day now, so don't go walking around in your pajamas. Don't go wearing your night clothes when you're supposed to be up and active. So get dressed, Paul says. It hardly needs to be said, but in keeping with this metaphor, it must be noted that in order to get dressed one has to first take off their night clothes. Before you can put your day clothes on, you have to take your night clothes off. And that is exactly what Paul tells us to do in verse 12. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. By all means, get dressed, but to do that, first, take off your pajamas. In Colossians 3, Paul gives us a list of what those night clothes look like. He says that Christians are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, lying, and deceit. All acts of evil and idolatry, Christians are to cast them off. Dress for the day and know that you will have no need for these night clothes again. Throw all those clothes and those deeds away, for you live today at the dawn of an eternal day. It will never be night for you again when Jesus soon comes to make all things new. So cast off the wicked deeds and dress yourselves for eternity. Such wickedness is how the world dresses. That's how people who live in darkness dress. But the children of the light, don't you go wearing all of that stuff. Rather, dress for action. To think that Paul describes our day clothes in verse 12 as armor. You can infer from that we live in the enemy's land. Home is still beyond us, and we need to dress ourselves for action. All around you, we are told that the evil foe is lurking. We are attacked every single day. Every morning, in fact, before many of us even get our morning coffee, how many are attacked with the morning news? We are told who you're supposed to be mad at. The news tells us why we need to be angry with others. It encourages us to talk filthily. Truly, for this reason, we need to put on the whole armor of God, girded up with the whole spiritual protection. Before we even leave the bedroom, we better have on the helmet, breastplate, and the shield of God, equipped with the weapons of prayer and God's word. Because in going about our day, we're endlessly attacked with temptations to lie, gossip, steal, cheat, and to commit idolatry. And lastly, dear friends, Paul tells us in verse 14 to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've spoken a lot upon today what we need to do, how we need to wake up and cast off your night clothes, how we need to get dressed and engage for service for our Master. But here does Paul give us what's essentially a gospel message. Verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever wonder how to accomplish all of these things, look no further than this. Put on Jesus. There is a complete set of clothing for your soul right here. A clothing which you have nothing to do but to fit yourselves inside of. Putting on Christ Jesus the Lord. When you put on Jesus, beloved, you will find clothing to meet every need. Though you lack righteousness of your own, Jesus is the robe of righteousness. Though you have nothing in yourselves but rags, Jesus is the cloak of one piece and without seam. Put on Jesus, and you will find in him purity to cover all of your impurity. Perfection to cover all of your imperfection, and beauty to cover all of your blemishes. There is nothing to do but to enter into Christ by faith. We enter him through baptism. Put him on as a garment, beloved, and see how he is perfectly fitted to suit your soul. So may you and I rejoice that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would so give himself to you as to encircle you with himself, his love, his strength, his peace, and his joy. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 516.
Thank you.
this time we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand and join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we praise you for giving us your light and salvation, and we thank you for calling us out of darkness and to live in the light of your truth. As you continue to shine your gospel message into our hearts and minds, we ask that you would wake us from our spiritual sleep. Stir us up to love and service, and speak your truth to us that we may respond with faith and joy, with thankfulness for all of your goodness to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Father, you are perfect in all of your ways, and you have called us to be perfect also. Lead us into the ways of holiness so that we may bring honor and praise to you and your name. By your Spirit, convict us of sin and lead us to cast off the ways of darkness. Move in us a heart of holiness that would take off wickedness and put on righteousness. As we go through our daily lives, lead us in the law of love, to owe no one anything but love, honor, and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of unity, we thank you for your gospel that transcends nation and language, but rather you have called us to be your people from all walks of life. We ask that you continue to bring your church together so that we may support and encourage one another. Help us to cling to you alone and to see you as all in all. Help us to put away personal opinion and to cling to your word as the only place and source for truth and where we can stand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we thank you so much for continuing to be merciful upon us, that we don't deserve it, and though we often fail to thank you, you do continue to give us wonderful gifts. We thank you this morning, especially as you have so tenderly given Hannah Miller a few days of rest and health. We thank you that the medication appears to be working, and we ask that you would continue to open up doors of healing and rest for her. Give the entire family your peace and joy. And for the Lord, we continue to pray for all who are on our hearts and minds this morning. Give to these your healing touch, and grant them healing of mind, body, and spirit. During the difficulties, lead all who struggle and all who walk with them to turn towards you, and to cling tightly to your love and promises, knowing that you care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 924.